Murder has always been a problem with mankind from the very beginning. The first two people, Adam and Eve, had two kids. And the first crime ever committed by those two kids was homicide. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that Cain and his brother Abel were out in the field. They were having a conversation. And Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. And so it has been the history of mankind. Whether we had rocks in our hands or clubs or axes or swords, or in more modern times, guns and bombs, people kill people. That's the sad legacy of the human race.
We're fascinated with murder, from the crime TV shows that walk us through a different murder every week to the sensational killings we hear about in the news. Murder's not just something God's concerned with. It's a headline we see almost every day. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig reminds us why God included this issue in his top 10. After the teaching, Skip and his wife Lenya talk about an organization that's helping child victims of terror.
So what hope do they have for their future?
Their hope is in Jesus Christ. That's all of our hope, right? That he is the anchor of our hope. But what the chance that we have is, for a while they weren't letting concrete be poured because they didn't want this to become permanent. But we have a partner that we work with, Building Playgrounds. We're going in September, and we're allowed to build the first playground in this camp.
One of the best ways to grow in your relationship with God is to study His Word. You can learn so much about His personality by reading the Bible, because it's His love letter to you.
You look around creation, it tells you about God. But if you want to get to know God, He gives His self-disclosure, His full revelation in His Word principally. That's why we study it. That's why we seek to apply it and understand it continually.
We want to help you dive deep into God's Word with Deep and Wide, a compilation of 500 teachings from Skip Heitzig. These messages make up 31 series that Skip has taught over the years, including God's Top 10, Drawing Near, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, and many more. This one-of-a-kind collection comes on a set of 8 CDs and is a great resource for those who want to have a better grasp of Scripture and learn about who God is. And it's our way to thank you for your gift to help The Connection spread the gospel to a lost world. Request yours today when you visit connectiononline.org/offers. That's connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, let's get into our study with Pastor Skip. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 20.
Well, as we're going through the Ten Commandments, it would be really great if we'd memorize them. It's not too hard. There's only 10 of them. Some of you remember doing that as children. It'd be great if you teach your children the Ten Commandments. In fact, I wonder if you know them right now, at least what we've gone through so far. Let's go through them. Ready? No looking down. No, this isn't an open book test. The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The second one, you shall not make for yourself any graven image, carved image. The third one? Right, you're to keep the Lord's name holy. The next one? Remember the Sabbath. You don't take the Lord's name in vain, then you keep a day holy, the Sabbath day. The next one? Honor your father and your mother. That's good. It trailed off a little bit, but you got the gist of it. This is the simplest one so far. It's the shortest one. It's found in verse 13. You shall not murder. Maybe in reading this commandment, you're thinking, okay, the other commandments, they had something to do with me. There was at least relevance for my own personal life. Honor your father and your mother. Skip, I got that. Didn't like when you talked about doing that with parents-in-law, but nonetheless, I admit that those are things that are relevant to my own personal life. Honoring God above all else, certainly. But Skip, here is a commandment that I can just tune out because it absolutely has no relevance to my life whatsoever. Because after all, you would say, you never plotted the murder of another person. And even when somebody pulled out in front of you on the freeway and you had a moment of road rage and you even thought, I'm going to follow them through the entire state of New Mexico and make their day miserable, still, you didn't plan on how to murder them. But I'd venture to say that virtually every person, self-included in this room, has gotten away with murder if we apply the meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ and His words in the New Testament to this commandment. And we'll look at that this morning before we close. Well, Murder has always been a problem with mankind from the very beginning. The first two people, Adam and Eve, had two kids. And the first crime ever committed by those two kids was homicide. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that Cain and his brother Abel were out in the field. They were having a conversation. And Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. And so it has been the history of mankind. Whether we had rocks in our hands or clubs or axes or swords, or in more modern times, guns and bombs, people kill people. That's the sad legacy of the human race. In fact, did you know that out of the 11 so-called developed countries, murder, homicide is highest in our country, the United States of America? I'm told that you have one chance in 153 that you will be murdered. One chance in 153 as an American that you will be murdered. They tell us that intentional killing, i.e. homicide, is the fourth leading cause of death in our country. First is heart disease. Second is cancer. Third is accidents. And the fourth is intentional killing, homicide, murder. This year alone, over 25,000 people will be murdered. Those are the ones that will be registered. 25,000. That's 70 per day. That's one murder every 24 minutes in our country. Staggering. Astonishing. I read an interesting article in the Reuters news agency a couple weeks ago that police in Vienna, Austria, reported a woman who lived with a mummified corpse of her aunt for over a year. Okay, I know that's really spooky. And here's the story. The police knocked on the door after reports from the neighbors who tried to get in to see this 96-year-old woman. And her niece, 51 years old, said, well, she's sleeping. She doesn't want to be disturbed. When the police finally got in, they discovered that under this old lady's covers on her bed was the corpse that had been there for a year. And it seemed that the niece had been taking the pension money that this elderly aunt was getting, and she was using her ATM card. The autopsy was done to see if there was foul play involved. But what would possess a person to live with a mummified corpse of an old person for over a year? Well, here's another question. What would you be willing to do for, say, $10 million or $2 million or $4 million? That was a question that a couple of New York researchers asked 3,500 people across the United States, what they would be willing to do for enough money. So hypothetical cases were given. They discovered right around the $2 million mark, people were willing to do a lot. 25% of those who were interviewed said that they would be willing to completely abandon their families for $2 million. And these two researchers said, and I quote, 7% of us say they would murder someone for enough money. That's about one in every 14 people. Whether they could actually pull the trigger is another question. But 36 million of us would be willing to consider the offer. Well, the commandment is plain. Verse 13, you shall not murder. And I'm glad that our translation corrects the old King James. If you have an old King James, I apologize. Great translation. But it simply says, thou shalt not kill. Modern translations correct the language. The best and only translation can be murder. Here's why. There are seven Hebrew words that could be translated to kill. The one word that is translated murder is the word that is used here, reitzach. In fact, it's only two words, this commandment in the original Hebrew, lo reitzach, no murder. It speaks of the intentional killing of another human being for personal reasons. Now, that's the definition. The intentional killing of another person or another human being for personal reasons. You see, you shall not kill, you shall not murder, doesn't mean that you can't kill animals for sacrificial purposes in the Old Testament. God gave them that command. It doesn't mean that there can't be capital punishment. God gave that command in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean that the people of Israel couldn't go to war. They were given that permission in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean that you can't protect your family or your house if somebody's trying to break in. That was also specified under the Torah. This specifically deals with intentionally killing someone else for personal reasons. So we want to look at that in depth this morning. First of all, I want you to notice with me the premise of this command. Now, I know it's stated in the negative, you shall not. But it's put in that way, it also affirms the positive. The negative, you shall not, implies the positive. And here it is, life is sacred. And because life is sacred, you shall not murder. It's important to think about that premise. You see, death must always be viewed through the lens of life. Whatever value we place on life will determine whatever we believe about death. As an example, if I believe that life is a gift of God, that God created me, then for me to murder someone is to defy the very purposes of God and to defy God himself. If, on the other hand, I say, well, life is not by special creation. I'm just a cosmic accident. I'm just a biological creature like any other creature. Then killing someone or ending life is simply a biological action. When Napoleon Bonaparte was ruler of his country, he had a general named Prince Clement. Prince Clement advised Napoleon Bonaparte that the plan Napoleon had devised to wage war could cost the lives of 100,000 people, innocent people, many of them. Napoleon's reaction, ha, he said, what are the lives of 100,000 people to me? In other words, the way he viewed the lives of other people determined his willingness to put that many people to death. You say, oh, that's so archaic. However, the current belief today in our educational system pervasively is that man, women, we're just advanced protoplasm. Doesn't that make you feel good about yourself? You're just a blob of advanced protoplasm, and this advanced protoplasm meets that advanced protoplasm, and they get together and have little advanced protoplasms. So all you are, they would have you believe, is just a complex animal, an advanced animal, not made by God, no special value, just a biological mechanism. Listen to this quote from the American Journal of Pediatrics by Dr. Peter Singer. Quote, we can no longer base our ethics on the idea that human beings are a special form of creation, made in the image of God, singled out from all other animals, and alone possessing an immortal soul. So, follow my thinking. If every year in our schools and from our journals, we are telling people, you're just an animal, you're just an animal, why should we be so surprised if our kids start acting like animals? Why should we go, oh, I can't believe the crime rate? Wait a minute. You've been feeding them this line that they're animals. And so now they're acting savage-like, without morals, without underpinnings that God gives because we're his creation. And then you have a media that is pouring millions and billions of dollars into glorifying violence. And children's programming that depicts 25 violent acts per hour is the average. But apart from that, aside from that cultural view, is the biblical truth. We're not just an animal. We're not just organic. We have been made by God, and life is a gift from the Creator, which is the whole basis for the sanctity of life based on Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where we read, "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being." And it's that text and others like it that even our founding fathers thought should be woven into the fabric of the language of this nation, like the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, anybody can figure this out, that all men were evolved equal. No, it doesn't say that. Created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Moreover, not just is life a gift from God, but we are made in the image of God. The image of God. That means you and I possess certain characteristics that our dog, our cat, our pet snail, or whatever we have at home don't possess. Unlike those creatures, we, men and women, are made in the image of God. What does that mean? It means we're capable of conceptual thought. We can come up with our own ideas. We're capable of imagination. We're capable of creativity, being artistic. My dog never painted a picture. Be cool if he did. I think I'd make a lot of money if he did. But I never saw him in the corner doing this. Thinking, contemplating, imagining, creating. Also, man can produce complexity, can go from simple to complex, connect the dots in our reasoning. Not only that, but mankind is a trinity or a triunity, body, soul, and spirit, the tripartite nature that reflects the very Godhead himself. And also, mankind, unlike my dog, he's a good dog, but he doesn't have what I have. I have an eternal dimension. I enter life asking questions like, why am I here? My dog never said, why am I here? You know, just pet him, feed him, he's fine. Take him for a walk every now and then. But I have an eternal dimension, and so do you. We have the capability to long for God, to have a relationship with God, because we were, unlike our pets, made for eternity. So, the very foundation, the premise of this command is that life is sacred. But there's a problem, and the problem is not with the command. The problem is with those to whom the command is given. The problem with the thou shalt not kill is in the thou, the you, the me. Years after this was given to the children of Israel, Paul the Apostle would write in the book of Romans, looking at the law that God gave, all of the commandments, all of the instructions, Paul will say this, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin." There's no problem with the law because it reflects the heart of the lawgiver. That's the bar. The problem is with the people who receive the law, Paul would say. Law is spiritual. I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, even God understood that there would be this problem when he gave the Ten Commandments, in fact, the whole law. And the children of Israel, well, you remember the story on Mount Sinai, there was thundering and lightning, big fire show. And the children of Israel didn't want to go any closer. They said, Moses, you go and listen to whatever God tells you. Come back and tell us what to do, and we'll do it. Yeah, right. Whatever God tells you to tell us, we'll do it. Moses goes up to the mountain. God says, you know, Mo, I heard the words the children of Israel told you. And what they said was good. But listen to what God said. But oh, that they had such a heart to fear me and to always keep my commandments that it would be well with them and their children forever. I love what they said. I only wish they had the capability, the heart, to do everything that I've told them to do. So God understood there's nothing wrong with the commandment, but there is something wrong with the way man is now wired after the fall with Adam and Eve. But rather than innocence, there's depravity.
The reason people murder isn't complicated. It's because we're people. The solution is also not complicated. We need to be redeemed from ourselves. God provided that solution through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, making it possible for us to follow His commands. Now here's Skip and Lenya to talk about how you can be a part of the effort to help children who've been affected by terrorism.
Well, today we examine God's command, "You shall not murder." Now, that's a basic commandment that most societies believe in. We were reminded that life is sacred. But unfortunately, Lenya, there's a global epidemic of children who are becoming victims of terror. Now, you were led by the Lord to step in and to do what you can to help these children. It's called Reload Love. Would you tell us a little more about it and what's been happening?
Yeah, I think they're all familiar that we collect bullet casings, makes brass jewelry, and we help children impacted by terror. This has been an initiative for the last 3 years. And God has just continued to open doors for us to really help children really in harm's way. You know, we work with a partnership that even in this last week in Mosul, they had shot down a field of people, and a little girl 2 days later came crawling out from her mother's hijab, and our team members were able to crawl in there, sneak in there. They had gas, you know, smoke, and rescue this little girl. So we literally are in the line of fire.
I saw those pictures.
Rescuing kids from the crossfire of bullets. We're so excited. In September, we have been invited to go to a Syrian refugee camp, because this isn't just Iraq, it's Syria, that is in Jordan. It's near Mafraq at the Jordan-Syrian border. And this refugee camp, it's the second largest in the world.
Okay, yeah, so just right what you just said right there is that's so significant, because I've been there's some sizable refugee
camps. Half a million people have passed through this camp.
Oh my goodness.
461,701 people. Currently there are 80,000 people living in this
camp.
That's
like a city.
If it was a city, it would be the fourth largest city in Jordan.
Wow.
So picture, you know, whatever your state, if a city was raised up overnight. And it was the fourth largest city.
And it's all refugees.
Yeah, it's refugees. The average birth rate is 80 per week.
In the camp.
In the camp. So when we say we're trying to help children impacted by terror, and 80 more are being born each week in a camp. And this camp has really been on lockdown. First of all, the Syrian refugees have just been a little more rougher group than Iraqi refugees. But also, sadly, the UN had to kind of close the borders into this camp because people, Muslims were, or not Arabs, were driving in and taking some of the young people for sex trafficking. So they really didn't want people coming in and out because of the fear of exploiting these very fragile people. And you'll find that happens to a lot of the young refugee women, is they're exploited sexually. And so 57% of the people in this camp are 24 years or younger. 19% are 5 years old. So this is a whole generation in these camps.
And they'll be there for years, won't they?
Oh, yeah. These camps eventually become little cities unto themselves. And it's tragic because they can't really go home to where they've been. And the country they're in, they can't get green cards and work. So it becomes a false economy within a country.
So what hope do they have for their future?
Their hope is in Jesus Christ. That's all of our hope, right? That He is the anchor of our hope. But what the chance that we have is, for a while they weren't letting concrete be poured because they didn't want this to become permanent. But we have a partner that we work with, Building Playgrounds. We're going in September, and we're allowed to build the first playground in this camp. Mm. And we're so thrilled that, you know, for these children, we say we want to establish normalcy. And there's this syndrome that if children are abandoned, that we've talked about this, they will rock themselves in their own cribs. They call it the rocking crib syndrome. And so as we've met these children, we ask them, what's your favorite part of the playground? And they'll say the swing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because they're rocking themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're comforting themselves in that motion and that normalcy. So we'll be able to go into this camp, build a playground, and say, let the little children come to me. And then we try and do a program to share about Jesus Christ. And so please, if you go to the websites, go to reloadlove.com, help us. It's Za'atari is the name of this camp. It's near Mafraq, Jordan. And we are honored to build the first playground there.
Our goal at The Connection is to equip believers to live a life of radical faith in Jesus Christ. And you can help be a part of that by helping take solid Bible teaching by Skip to more people all over the world. Give a one-time gift right now or become a monthly partner by calling 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888.
Tomorrow on The Connection, Skip continues to explore what the command to not murder means for our everyday lives. Be sure to join us.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.